I invite you to stand now as you're able for the hearing of this morning's gospel, which comes from the gospel according to Matthew, reading from the 22nd chapter. Then the Pharisees went and plotted to entrap Jesus in what he said. So they sent their disciples to him, along with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are sincere and that you teach the way of God in accordance with truth, and that you show deference to no one, for you do not regard people with partiality. Tell us, then, what you think. Is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not?" But Jesus, aware of their malice, says, "Why are you putting me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin used for the tax." And they brought him a denarius. Then he said to them, "Whose head is this and whose title?" They answered, "The emperor's." Then he said to them, "Give therefore to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and to God the things that are God's." When they had heard this, they were amazed, and they left him and went away. This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. Please join your hearts with mine for a moment of prayer. Oh, Holy God, we thank you for this Sabbath day that you've called us together to worship you. We thank you for the gift of your holy word. And we thank you especially, O Lord, now for this opportunity for your word to be proclaimed. I ask, O Lord, that you would be in the thoughts of our minds, the meditation of our hearts, but especially, O Lord, that you would be present in the words of my mouth, that they would be acceptable to you and continue to bring glory to your holy name. You, O Lord, who are our rock and our redeemer, our savior and our friend. Amen. This week, we continue our sermon series on the book God's Chisel, Becoming God's Masterpiece. Last week, or 2 weeks ago, the sermon was about those things that God needs to chisel away in our life to get back down to what God would intend for us. Those things that tend to separate us from God, those sins, those pieces that keep us from being righteous. But once those big chunks are hammered away, then there's some refinement that has to happen, some fine-tuning to that piece of artwork. The metaphor now changes from a hammer and a chisel to sandpaper, that more intricate work that would refine us into the masterpiece that God has designed us to be. So we move from those big chunks to that fine-tuning. And what we need to do is to look at the behaviors and the habits that continue to define us and seek God's presence to help us sand those away, to sand away those behaviors and habits that for too long have shaped us. In their book, the Skit Guys start their chapter on refinement with this. This is God speaking. "You know what insanity is? Insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. You've been doing some destructive things since you were a kid, and it's insane. Allow me to chisel those out of your life. Allow me to produce character where you keep focusing so much on your image." And the response to God is, "Yeah, but I was thinking." And God says, "Your thoughts are not my thoughts." And we come back with, "Well, I was figuring if we could go another way." And God responds, "Your ways are not my ways." And then they quote from the prophet Isaiah, "Indeed, my plans are not like your plans, and my deeds are not like your deeds. For just as the sky is higher than the earth, so my deeds are superior to your deeds, and my plans are superior to your plans." Too often, we go about our lives with our own plans, and we forget to seek God's guidance and God's will in what those plans might be. Too often, we keep repeating things in our lives that we would hope would maybe change us, but if we're still doing the same thing over and over again, really nothing changes. Nothing changes. Think for a moment about those things that have shaped your lives, those things that those messages you've heard, those events that have been a part of your life, people in your past who have helped to shape you, for good or for bad. Our lives are a constant process of being changed, and we are changed in that process. This week, Max Licato in a blog had an article that just really fits this idea of refinement and those things that we need to have God sandpaper away. And this is Max Licato's article. Everyone has assumptions about life. Many are useful and constructive. We know the sun will rise and set each day. We assume storms will pass, and we know that food is available. Some assumptions, however, are toxic. Even worse, they are contrary to the truth. Unhealthy assumptions include false thoughts like these. I'm unworthy. I don't deserve to have good things happen to me. People abandon me. When people come to know the real me, they leave. It's all my fault. I'm to blame for every bad thing that happens to me. No one has my back, which makes me vulnerable. Something bad is going to happen. The world feels dangerous. He goes on to write, many false beliefs were formed in the early years of our lives when we did not have the ability to challenge them. So their roots run deep, and such false assumptions create an anxious-ridden life. God's solution? Truth. Face worries with truth. Take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. One way to do this is to correct faulty thinking with accurate thoughts. I matter to God. God made me, knows me, and has a plan for my life. I am worthy of love. I'm not perfect, but I have abilities and God-given gifts. I'm not responsible for all the bad things. I've made mistakes, but I'm learning and growing. And most of all, I am forgiven by God. I'm protected. It is a dangerous world, but I serve a mighty God who knows and loves me. We need to listen to ourselves. We need to monitor our beliefs about ourselves, about God, and about the world. And we have to stop allowing false assumptions to take up any space in our minds. Immediately treat them with the truth. That God loves us, that God has redeemed us, that God is there for us. The truth is, God is for you. God has cast his vote. In God's opinion, you're worth the death of his son. You are valuable, purposeful, and important. If God is for you, shouldn't you be for you? I've learned it doesn't make sense to be against myself if God isn't. Calling myself dumb, ugly, or poor, saying there is no solution, hope, or promise in life. If I decide I have no talents, friends, or future, those words have power over me. Saying something often enough can become my version of the truth. Those offhand negative remarks aren't harmless. They're toxic. They actually agree with the devil. They give him a foothold. He concludes by saying, hold fast to the promises of Scripture and speak truth. The Apostle Paul modeled this for us when he wrote, no, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future nor powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Be for you, God is. Perhaps some of the things that we need to ask God to sandpaper away are all those negative thoughts, all those old messages that we've allowed to have power over us, all those words that have become toxic in our living. Perhaps, as Licato says, we have to hold on to the truth that if God is for us, how can we be against us? If God loves us so much, shouldn't we also love ourselves? We need to counteract those negative words with the truth that God, who has created us, has named us, has redeemed us, that God loves us regardless of what we do, regardless of how little we do. God still loves us. The question for us as we think about refinement and allowing God to sandpaper away those edges is, what do I need to let go of? What old tapes do I need to erase? What do I need to surrender to let God work in me and to work with me? The scripture that Shirley read this morning from Paul writing to the Thessalonians is one of his earliest letters. He is praising the Thessalonians for all that they have been able to do. They needed to turn their lives around. They had to let go of the idols that they worshiped so that they could worship the living God. They had to let go of practices that had been acceptable for them for years and had probably shaped who they were. They truly had to turn their lives around so they could accept the message that Paul and his co-workers brought. And Paul is praising them for that, for all that they have let go of and how they've let the Holy Spirit shape them into a new community with new relationships built on the love of Christ. That would have never happened if they hadn't first let go of something, if they hadn't first allowed God to sandpaper away their beliefs about idols and their understanding of God. If they hadn't first let those things go, they never would have created that faithful community that Paul is praising. They needed to let go, and they needed to let the Holy Spirit work within them. And not only that, Paul says, you have come so far, you have become such imitators of us that you don't really need us anymore. You're the ones taking the good news out. So much has changed for you that you're now the ones who are evangelizing. You're taking that good news out. Look how far you've come. Look at what you've let go of. And thank God for what you're able to do. When people's lives change us, it changes the community. When we change, we help change the relationships that we're in. When God sandpapers away those rough edges, we together become that masterpiece that God intends. But first, we have to let the Holy Spirit in to take away those rough edges, to change us, and to let go of those things that are toxic and can harm us. The Old Testament lesson is an interesting little story. You need to know the backstory to that to understand the scripture that Shirley read this morning. Moses has already been on the top of Mount Sinai. God has already given Moses the Ten Commandments. And you know what happens that minute he comes back down into the valley? Aaron and the Israelites have run amok. They have created this golden calf. And not only have they created a golden calf, an image, they're worshiping the golden calf. They're having a fine old time. And Moses comes down that mountain, and Moses is angry. He's angry with Aaron. He's angry with the Israelites. He's probably angry at himself. And he breaks those tablets that hold the Ten Commandments. The covenant with God has been broken before it even has a chance to begin. And now Moses has gone back up Mount Sinai. He's gone back up to speak with God, and he's coming to really ask God's forgiveness for the children of Israel. And God is still a little miffed at his children, and he says, I'm not going with them anymore. They're on their own. I'll send an angel to protect them, but I'm not going. And Moses continues to defend them. Moses goes to God on their behalf, and God relents. God says, all right, I'll go. And Moses wants even more. He wants more of an assurance. He wants more of an affirmation that God will go with them. And God says, Moses asked God that he might see God's glory. And we all know that that's something that's usually not allowed. You're not allowed to see the face of God and live. So there's this wonderful little story about God protecting Moses, and God only allows Moses to see his backside. But the point of this story is that God forgives those past sins, those past indiscretions, and God moves on with us. God doesn't allow us to stay stuck in that place. God doesn't abandon us. God helps us to move forward. God shows us the way, God goes with us, and even God shows us a glimpse of his glory. We shouldn't get stuck in those bad places in our past. We should let God help us move along. God's compassion is even greater than God's justice. And God forgives us, God loves us, and God goes with us. The scripture from the gospel lesson is one of those age-old questions. It's the separation of church and state. It's the separation between the sacred and the secular, the political and the personal. In this scripture this morning, Jesus is confronted by Pharisees and Herodians. They truly are two sides of the big picture. The Pharisees are the ones who want to live just by every piece of the law. Every piece of the law. And so they're against paying taxes to Caesar. The Herodians, on the other hand, are the ones who are benefiting from the Roman power. And so they don't want to rock the boat. They're the side that wants to keep peace with the Romans. And they come together, people that you would never have in the same room, they come together to trap Jesus. And their question is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not? And Jesus knows their hearts, knows what they're about, and Jesus turns the question back on them and asks them to show him a coin, a Roman coin. And of course, the image on that Roman coin is Caesar. And he says to them, whose image is this? And of course, they know that it's Caesar's. And he responds, render unto Caesar those things that are Caesar's, and render unto God those things that are of God. We who are made in the image of God is what God would want of us. The Roman coins can go to Caesar. Neither side got the answer they wanted, but they went away amazed at Christ's wisdom. Jesus doesn't give us an answer about how to separate the political from the personal, how to separate the sacred from the secular. Jesus tells us, though, that our ultimate loyalty is always with God. God comes first, the politics, the social, the economic comes second. How often do we allow the political, the social, and the economic to shape our understanding of God rather than having our understanding of God shape how we live in the world? Our first loyalty is to God, and second is to everything else. Perhaps as Jesus tries to shape us into the community, that divine image that he wants for us as a people, perhaps he wants us to sand away those things that keep us from having God as our first loyalty, that keep us from having God first in all that we do. I'm not saying that we're not allowed to have political thoughts or we're not allowed to understand things differently. We are not of one mind in this church and in most churches. But the truth is, we should always have God as our first priority. And then from there, allow that understanding of God to shape who we are. Perhaps one of the things God is asking us to let go of is some of those things that are out in the world rather than being of God. Today, the question is, what is it that you need to let go of? What areas of your life need to be refined? What things need to be sandpapered? Probably only you and God know the answer to that. What habits and hurts do you continue to allow to define you? What old tapes continue to haunt you? Allow God to take them away. Allow God to continue to shape you into his divine masterpiece. Never forget, it's God that created you. God has named us. God has saved us. And God will never forsake you or me or us. That's grace. That's grace. Allow grace to shape you and sand away those rough edges. Amen.